The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Beyond and hello and welcome to a very special IGN podcast Beyond post show for a state of play. That certainly was a state of play.
Yes.
I'm Max Scoville. I'm joined by Brian Altano.
Hello.
Right here in the studio and remotely Nick Lamone and Akeem Lewanson.
Yo.
What's up, fellas?
We saw that was they showed us some games.
That's yeah.
A lot of games.
They certainly did, Max.
Okay, so just,
this is why they pay you the big bucks.
How dare you? First things first, what's the vibe check on this? Was this
I'll say I went in with like pretty muted expectations and there was some cool stuff in there. I don't think this was like the big banger. This, you know, they let us know this is going to be focused on indies and third parties, and we did get some like big stuff in there, which is great. I'm still waiting for the kind of here's what's next in the portfolio from PlayStation, but to hold us over, there's some cool stuff, and we got some new looks at Spider-Man, Final Fantasy VII, others. So,
enthusiastic. Nick, what was your feeling on this?
I came in with like this is going to be a presentation of known quantities, things that I already knew were going to be coming. You know, of course, we're going to get another look at Spider-Man 2, which at this point, I just want to play the game. And yes, deep down, there was a part of me. I was like, Nicholas. When I woke up today, I was like, you're probably going to see some more footage of the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. But my God, I was not prepared for everything I just saw. I am vibrating in my chair. This escalated this from like a B presentation all the way to an A minus because you know what? I love Final Fantasy VII.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, we got to give it up to Square Enix on that one. I mean, they started off with Foam Stars, and then they built up to Final Fantasy. And what we got coming out of the Foam Stars camp was phenomenal.
We know
it's going to be an open beta. We got like a list of different characters. Also, we found out about Roblox, which I'm super excited for.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about y'all, but
if you think about like
this.
A ragtag group of heroes getting together in like a futuristic city under the Square Enix logo, I mean, you can't do better than Foam Stars.
We're going to come back to that.
100%.
If you misbehave, we're going to come back to that and talk about Foam Stars a whole
lot. Fine, it's a threat.
Let's just get into it first and foremost. Spider-Man 2. Akeem, you actually, you can't talk about it quite yet, but you got a chance to go check out Spider-Man 2. Can you tease anything about that?
The game plays like you would expect. I can't say much. The embargo is up tomorrow, but you know, okay. I'm definitely going to be talking about it next week on Beyond.
Yes.
Sure.
The thing is, so what we saw was 3 minutes, you know, giving us information about like how we're going to get, you know, doubling the size of the city, all the various different costumes, 65 different suits. These are things I can talk about, and like all the assist attacks and whatnot, seamlessly, you know, switching between the two Spider-Man. It's from what I've seen. I can't talk about what I've played, but from what I've seen, like it looks like they've just pretty much refined the formula,
right?
You know, from the 2018 Spider-Man game, Miles Morales, and they pretty much just refined it and added a bunch of things that I didn't even know I wanted. Like, I had no idea I wanted Spider-Man gliding.
Yeah, well, so that's the big thing is that like Spider-Man 2018 was running on 2013 hardware.
Like that
is a last gen game. Mm-hmm. This is from the ground up made for PS5. And I remember one of the first things we saw for the PS5 was like an early tech demo that showed exactly how fast the new console could render New York in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And it was just like you know, blowing through the streets, just super, yep. super fast. And we got to see that actually used in game here. And it's showing that, like, in addition to being able to swing from buildings like you do, they kind of showed how the glider works a little bit better. And there's spots where you can sort of see, I'm guessing this is probably an upgrade, where you can see, like, gusts of wind that you can ride on.
Yeah. Right, right.
Wind trajectory, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Which is just really cool. And, I mean, the sheer scale of it, I'm getting kind of a hard answer about that, that it's
I mean,
Brooklyn, Queens, and then Manhattan as well.
Insomniac are, they're just tech wizards. They're brilliant. They've gotten the most out of the PS5, I think, by far of any other studio. If you look at what they did with Ratchet and Clank, they took a tried and true franchise that they've been perfecting for years, and they threw it through the PS5 tech. And they're like, look, look, there's these portals now, and they let you instantly travel from place to place. The fast travel that we saw in this demo today blew my mind. That's exactly like the kind of stuff where you're like, oh, that's why I bought a PS5. Like the fact that it just went from like the map to zipping in instantly, switching between characters, showing like exactly where they are in the city. Like that's the kind of stuff that you could throw a drum at a guy now. Like I think I was kind of like, yeah, all right, more Spider-Man, cool. Yeah, I'm down. But now I'm like fully officially hyped to this game.
That's exactly it. It's like we've seen a lot of this game. It's also very much a known quantity. I'm obviously going to play it. It looks like it's going to be great. I have faith it will be great. This was a lot of like little granular stuff that actually got me more excited than the big cinematic thing we saw in the last big reveal. Like just seeing, I don't know, like a little bit look at the upgrade trees, like some of the stuff you unlock. And it honestly jumped around so much that it's hard to like kind of parse all the details. But I don't know. Yeah, it's just I got excited again about like the little, you know, little things they get to do. Hitting somebody with a drum. I don't understand what's going on there, but that's
65 so, I mean, costumes.
And then you can
65 costumes.
Yeah,
yes. And you can have different looks for them. So there's like 250 different combinations.
Oh, right, right, right.
You can do.
Yeah, that's wild. Like,
one suit can have like
something
three
like
different
armored
variants.
Core to me, where you can like change the different shading on different parts of Spider-Man. So I was like, yes, I want to be able to make, you know, my black, silver, white Spider-Man
make him look
combo
like
that inevitably
Spawn.
Everybody makes. He looks awesome. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm dying to see what kind of like retro throwback, like cel shaded ones we get. Like I love the you know classic look in the first one, and also the Spider-Verse. You know, that's the kind of that skips animation frames. I thought that was really cool. And they're obviously showing like the really pretty new shiny ones, but I want some janky old looking ones for boring old people like me and Brian.
Mm-hmm.
No, this looks like
what's a janky Spider-Man costume? Looking one.
A janky Spider-Man costume is the one that's like the ski mask and the goggles that he, you know, fights Macho Man wearing, you know?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Scarlet Spider's kind of janky looking. It's just a ripped t-shirt or whatever, a ripped sweater.
Just Jim Spider-Man.
Yeah, but that's for aesthetics, though. That's not...
So they did some stuff here that like I kind of rolled my eyes at a little bit, but now thinking about it more, I kind of dig. Like instead of just map markers and icons, which I'm sure they'll have because every open world game needs them now, there is a lot of visual cues in the open world, like the kind of like those robot vulture drones you can follow around and kind of orbs in the sky and stuff like that that start side quests and mini missions. I really dig that. Also, like every time we see Venom and like he's just hulking and gigantic. I cannot wait to like that's the kind of encounters like I really can't wait for in this game. They also talked about how they're bringing in some villains that they haven't shown yet and that they've never done before, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah. The phrasing of that I think was like that haven't appeared in the Spider-Man universe. So
yeah.
Like I'm curious what that means. Like
I mean,
exist in the comics.
It's not. I don't think it's gonna be like original characters, but it's stuff that we haven't seen in the Insomniac, you know, gamerverse or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be cool to see. I'm hoping Morbius is there and we could kick his ass. I think that'd be nice.
And who knows? Maybe this is like a deep tease for like maybe there's like you'll see some X-Men villains with the upcoming Wolverine game that from Insomniac. I don't know. Just speculating. It's an exciting time to be. It feels odd to be excited about a Marvel thing when, you know, on the cinematic front, it's all stuff that, for the most part, everyone knows what's happening. With Insomniac Spider-Man, it just feels like a clean slate.
Yes.
I don't know what to expect, and that's what makes me excited.
I would love to see some kind of teases for Wolverine in there. I think that's totally fair. I think it'd be nice. You know, the last one we had, you know, there's like, oh, there's the Baxter Building. There's the, you know, Avengers Tower. Like, what's going on there? And it's like, they're not there. They're not home. They're over at Crystal Dynamics' house or whatever.
Right.
But in this case, like, it's very possible that we have, like, I don't know, there's a, maybe you see Wolverine. Maybe he you try to hang out with him and he tells you to go away or something.
Mm-hmm.
Profane language. I don't know. So Spider-Man 2 is just around the corner. That's happening in October. Happening even sooner than that, a nice little curveball here, a fun surprise that next week we are getting the long-awaited, much-rumored, much-expected, much-anticipated Resident Evil 4 Separate Ways expansion DLC.
Yes.
All about the adventures of Ada Wong. Brian, this is your game.
Oh God, yeah. So, it's mid-September, so I'm doing that thing where I'm rattling in my brain, like, what are some of your favorite games this year? I'm looking back and reflecting, looking forward on what's left to play. Assignment Ada was the thing that came later in the original version of Resident Evil, specifically to PS2. So, like, the GameCube version didn't get that. When they ported it to PS2, it came there, and eventually it made it to basically every other system that Resident Evil 4 was ported to, which was every other system ever made. It's finally getting this now. The original version was about like somewhere between 4 and 6 hours, and it effectively sits alongside the same campaign that Leon's in, but it's told from Ada's perspective, and you're kind of infiltrating the same areas and conflicts from a different angle, and sometimes setting up stuff that impacts Leon and vice versa. Now, there's a little bit of tricky wordiness here that I want to dig into. They said that this is a free update. I dug into this a little bit. The game is getting a free update, and that is Ada and Wesker are coming to Mercenaries, but Capcom has confirmed that Assignment Ada will be paid DLC. So if you own the base game, which you should because it's awesome, you'll have to buy this separately, which stings a little bit because I think they kind of obfuscated that a little bit, but I'm going to do it. I've bought every version of this game ever. This is the best looking version of Assignment Ada I've ever seen. Gives me a good excuse to go back into that game. Game of the Year talk's going to come up in a few months, so it kind of refreshes the platter for everybody. So
for that.
Yeah.
If you didn't buy this, I would be genuinely worried about you as
oh god, yeah.
That's just not, I mean,
yeah,
yeah,
no, like as if this month and next month weren't busy enough, but everything gets pushed aside for RE4.
We also got to look at the PlayStation VR 2 RE4 version, which I feel like this is a much more interesting look at it than we've gotten previously. Before, it just kind of looked like what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I don't know, yeah. Akeem, you're a big PSVR guy. What's your feeling on this?
Yeah, what we saw, because I'm pretty sure you all remember Capcom earlier this year had like a bit of a showcase where they showed PSVR 2 footage of Resident Evil 4. But it was the same thing that they showed at another State of Play, if I'm recalling correctly. It was the same footage that they showed earlier this year during a PlayStation State of Play. Now, this, or it was a showcase, it was one of the two. Anyways. This is a lot more refined. This look that we're getting at. So they've definitely come a long way since they initially announced that they were going to be doing this. And I'm hoping that there's other games that come out beforehand, but I don't think so. We know that it's coming out in the wintertime, so that might be the time that I dust off my PSVR 2 and put it back on my head to play.
Akeem, I wanted to point out real quick, so the Meta Quest 2 or the Oculus Quest 2 got a exclusive version of Resident Evil 4 that was based on like the original GameCube Wii PS2 version. And so like that game is really cool and really interesting, but like when you get up really close and stuff like that, it's the kind of early 2005 textures. This is proper RE4 remake. Yep. It's gorgeous. I've been like kind of whatever on PSVR 2. This is one of those things where I'm like, ah, damn it. I need to play this game somehow. So I'm going to figure that out.
Are you thinking about getting a PSVR 2? Is that what I'm hearing, Brian?
No, I'm just going to come over and hang out.
Well, you're always welcome over. You know that.
Thank you. Can I crash on the couch for like 20, 30 hours and platinum this?
Yeah. You can sleep in my studio, actually.
So we actually just saw at the whole iPhone reveal, whatever, they had RE8 or was it 4?
Resident Evil Village and Resident Evil 4 are coming.
Okay, yeah, running on a touch screen, which had a whole lot of controls on the screen. It seems like a lot to unpack. I was joking that like it'd be really funny to see people compete, like one person's got to play through it in VR, one person's got to play it on their phone and see who can, you know, get through that the fastest. That's like a real survival horror challenge. Not necessarily a good time for playing, but you know. Now, speaking of good time, Nick, you had a good time during this presentation because of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. You are a big, huge FF7 fan. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Honestly, I'm still trying to like parse everything I saw because they threw a lot at us within, you know, the span of 2 minutes, and so much that I didn't expect that we would ever get a glimpse of. Like, not only did we see like teases of what would be coming in later chapters of Final Fantasy VII, we saw, you know, Corel, which is Barret's hometown. We saw Junon, where Rufus is getting inaugurated. We got a tease of the weapons, the all capital weapons, the biological giant kaiju that defend all of the planet. We saw all summons I didn't expect to see. We saw a bunch of dual attacks. We saw the flashback to the past with Sephiroth and Cloud investigating the Mako reactor. We saw the mini games at the gold saucer, which I didn't think we'd be getting. And like, not just that, but the attention to detail of what those mini games were what make me so excited about this remake and slash rebirth of Final Fantasy VII. We got Kachi, but like the fighting mini game, right? Back in Final Fantasy VII PS1, it was such a janky, you know, rock, paper, scissors style game. Not only did they manage to capture that perfectly on PS5, but you are using the original Final Fantasy VII polygons as your character. That's fighter so screen. And then they have the motorcycle minigame. They got so much. I could go on and on and on. We saw Alexander. We saw Kajata. We saw Odin. Oh, man.
You think we're going to get snowboarding, so, or are they going to cut that?
I think we're going to get snowboarding. You think so? I think they've shown so much already, so we got to be getting snowboarding.
Yeah. I've always said like Final Fantasy VII is a really good snowboarding game with just way too many menus to get into it.
A lot of random battles in that snowboarding game. I don't understand it. But the one thing that I think had me the most like fanboy standing up in my chair was, you know, in the original Final Fantasy VII, Cloud tells the crew, like, hey, I kind of have a messed up past with this guy named Sephiroth. Not only do we get to see what that looks like here on, you know, the PS5 hardware, but we saw Cloud and Sephiroth doing a dual attack together, which is one of the new mechanics here. And I swear everyone who's ever owned a wall scroll just stood up in unison and just cheered at the top of their lungs. Like, that is what I've always wanted to see, is Cloud and Sephiroth working together, because, you know, they used to be buddies. So, like, they just showed a lot here that has, you know, I, without a doubt, Final Fantasy VII fans are drooling everywhere.
So this is very exciting.
Like you, Nick. You can't even talk.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it,
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So similar note to the Spider-Man 2 thing, like the first part of Final Fantasy VII Remake was last gen. Like, that was a cross-gen title. This
right.
is a proper, you know, PS5 game. This is, and I think we're going to see some really cool, you know, really cool technical stuff, you know, because of that. The first one was like, it had open areas, but it was still fairly like kind of sectioned off. And I get the sense this is going to be a lot more, maybe not full open world, but like, I think it's going to have some pretty big sprawling areas, as indicated by the fact that you can now rent Segways and drive around on them and also get big, like six-wheeled red trucks and, I don't know, walk chocobos up walls, which seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, the first one kind of, it kind of ended where you get out, you leave Midgar and you get out into the overworld. Like, Nick, what do you, how large of a scale are you expecting here?
Well, I mean, I honestly did not expect to see some of the locations that they showcase here, because obviously we see immediately after the events of, you know, Remake, where we see our people deposited into the open world. We got glimpses of the Midgar Zalem, so you're going to be able to cross that scary marsh with the giant snake using a fancy chocobo. We saw the Junon area, which means that we're going to have to travel through, you know, Fort Condor. I think that's what we're seeing right here. We see Cosmo Canyon, where, you know, Red 13's from. We see Nibelheim, all this stuff. Like, you're seeing a lot. And the one thing that has me extra curious, we saw Rufus firing the Junon cannon, which is that seaside place where he was getting inaugurated. That only really happens a couple times in Final Fantasy VII, and it's when weapon attacks. So, like, there's some crazy stuff, like stuff that you wouldn't see until the third disc of the original, or I'm sorry, end of the second disc of Final Fantasy VII. So it looks like we're getting a lot of game with Rebirth. And obviously, this is a reimagining. This is a rebirth of Final Fantasy. This right here is happening inside Mount Nebel, this battle right here. But like,
this is why we got you on the show, Nick.
The scope of this is staggering. And like you said, the fact that this is getting brought to PS5 is designed first for PS5. And with that in mind, I immediately think of Final Fantasy 16 with its very big, not open world, but very big, like, hub areas almost, and just how beautifully rendered that is. That combined with the kind of attention to detail we're seeing here, and man, there's just going to be a whole lot of games. So if Final Fantasy 16 didn't scratch the itch you were looking for, there's no doubt in my mind that Rebirth is going to be that game.
That low poly in PS5 graphics minigame thing is just awesome. That is such a beautiful aesthetic.
Yeah,
it reminds me of the Phantom Pain Solid Snake, you know, rendered in Phantom Pain from PS1. It's that same, like, high fidelity look, which is so cool. And also Vincent, we were talking about the cool vampire. Oh my gosh.
All right, so there's plenty more to talk about this. Ooh. And also, that is only the second of the three Final Fantasy VII remakes. I like that a really great PS6 launch game is probably going to be all these games in one package for, I don't know,
the five disc collection or whatever.
Yeah. 8K.
Let's touch on Helldivers for a second. This is, we got a release date for this. I feel like a lot of people were expecting this to drop later this year. It's coming out, I think, February 8th, I want to say. It's coming to PS5 and PC. We got to look at this, and it's, I feel like the first Helldivers had like a very kind of easy drop in, drop out kind of co-op. It was still a hard as hell game. But this one is like a completely different animal. Like, this looks way more like, I don't know, Earth Defense Force by way of, you know, Starship Troopers and, you know, ODST. And what's your vibe on this?
I will say above the gameplay, which is really good looking, I just want to say I'm completely over trailers where people have fake multiplayer chatter. Like, I get it. It's supposed to make us as friends go, hey, we could be just like them and have the fun they're having. I'm
laying down suppressive fire, Brian.
Yeah, I'm, man, like, I don't know. I'm just so like, and I think this was a little more natural than usual. I just feel like this is, we have to put up with this every like three or four times a year at like old E3s and game awards.
Well, the thing is, Brian, I mean, they couldn't have like an actual, they had to clean up the conversation that they were going to have in display here.
Right.
I mean, like,
right.
I'm pretty sure you wouldn't talk this way to your friends as they did in the trailer.
Not at all.
Compared to like Ubisoft, this felt a lot more natural. Like, you know, if you go back and watch like the first like Division trailer where it's like, I'm reloading, whatever. In this, I get the sense that they had the devs play through kind of the same mission a few times and they cut together the conversation. The mission itself is cool. They're fighting a Bile Titan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like this looks solid. This looks interesting. I'm curious to see what the devs, you know, who made Helldivers do with it, but it also is one of those odd cases where it's such a huge departure from what the first game is. It might as well be a new game entirely.
Yeah. I'll say I love the creature design. The lighting is awesome. The weapons look fun as hell. Like there's a lot of Starship Troopers in here. It's got like some sort of almost like gritty Shore Trooper from Rogue One look to some of the designs of the characters. The capes are fun. Yeah. It's just the banter. Enough of the banter.
I also got to say, I love the Adobe program apps that they have over their heads. It's really cool.
Wow,
it's
yeah,
nice
that
touch.
Is really that is a creative suite right there.
Yeah.
One thing we noted, I love this right here, is that there's a cooperative rocket launcher reload system, whatever, where like somebody has to go behind you and like put the missiles back in, which is, I don't know, I think that's a kind of a cool touch.
The little backpack drones are cool too.
Yeah. So while we're talking about
the charm of the first game for me was like its isometric perspective and how you had to kind of play to that angle because it was very limited FOV. And I was a little bit bummed when they first reveal Helldivers 2 because it abandoned that.
Mm.
But more to your point, Max, like I think the magic of this game is going to lie in its co-op interactions that we haven't really seen before in games. Like I really can't think of a game where you have that kind of intimate squad experience where you are relying on people for ammo, refills, things like that, and also just coordinating an airstrike. And, you know, I love a game where you can die and explode into a little bit. So, I mean, this is checking all the boxes for me.
Now, while we're talking about the big co-op and the multiplayer shooters with where the liquids and the stuff.
Are we doing it?
We're doing it. We're talking Foamstars.
All right, the Foamsters.
So they are having an open beta. They're doing September 29th through September 3rd or through October 2nd, thereabouts. It's kind of all over the place. There's a bunch of them. It's up on the PlayStation blog. But basically, they're letting people get their hands on this, letting them get their feet wet with foam, as it were. We got to look at the roster here, and I'm honestly like, I really love how completely ridiculous these characters are. They all have very silly names. Like one is named like Soa, which is like soap, but Soa. There's Melty, which feels like a Spice Girl, but it's, you know, implying that she's like viscous and melty.
What about Penguin?
Penguin. She dresses up like a penguin. There's the Barista Door, who makes lattes and stuff. We keep joking about this game, but it honestly is like, it looks like it's having such a good time. I want to see what the big deal is.
When's the beta out?
It is the September 29th through October 1st or 2nd.
Yeah, so I read that. I immediately started hitting up everybody at the company here at IGN. I was like, we got to redo our Game of the Year list, scrap everything, toss out Spider-Man, Tears of the Kingdom, Baldur's Gate, everything. It's all going away because the Foamsters are here, baby.
Let's not lose our soaps here, okay? Relax, all right?
Okay.
Don't drop the soap on this one. I mean, this game, this is the thing, like... I think, Max, you said this, like, I think it was a week ago that we were kind of sarcastically, you know, excited or pretending we were sarcastically excited for this game. But it became a reality for me as the more and more that I've seen of this game. And of course, you know, we talked to Jada last week and she played it at PAX and she raved about this game.
Right.
I'm actually really excited for this. I mean, we're going to have like, I think they're going to have like two modes we can play in the open beta.
Do you want to read the names? Star? Yeah, Smash the Star and Happy Bath Survival. And
Happy Bath Survival.
I wish you that all a happy like bath a survival.
I really think it's going to be a wash when it comes to Game of the Year. I mean, this game has really bubbled up on my horizon.
I think it might make a splash.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be a clean victory, I'd say.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Brian, you're all washed up.
There it is. Jeez. Finally, they opened with one of the most bizarre choices for this state of play, which was...
It really was.
Baby Steps, which we've seen before. This is... Yes.
So the opposite of Foam Stars. This is about one man alone falling in the mud.
The dirtiest, slowest game you can play. It's basically Co-op meets Death Stranding. You control the man's legs and make him go up stuff. The thing that jumped out at me here that made it seem much more like an interesting game rather than just a silly kind of tech demo widget type of thing is that it seems like he's got dialogue based on what he's doing. So he's like muttering to himself, being like, okay, post. Okay, gonna go on the rock. Gonna go on here. Mm-hmm. And then he also meets his weird Australian friends who tells him about grappling hooks. And I'm just, I don't know. This game looks extremely funny and that in that kind of like, in that very quappy way. But also, I don't know. It seems like it's got a lot more going for it technically. I think this is Unreal 5. I think they're really pushing the limits of silly games about pajama guys falling in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you said in that silly co-op. You think this is going to be co-op? Or?
No, quap. Like Q-W-O-P. Okay. Quap. You know.
All right. Okay. I'm like, wait a minute. Co-op. Where
no,
we?
That would be
Q-op.
I wouldn't put it past them to have like a co-op mode where one person has to control the each leg or whatever.
Yeah,
it seems like the kind of thing they would do. Just to
they
make
did
it.
That with Octodad, so that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
And this also strikes me as one of those games that's going to be one of those like streaming phenomena that people just can't stop watching other people playing.
Yeah.
Which feels like this feels tailor made for something like that.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be
100%.
Quap, Octodad, or that going up game. People love watching other people climb stuff still in
and
silly ways. So this feels like the natural next version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right hopefully there's like a singing version in this game so you can have doo-wop. Let's move on, Max.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well,
let's move on.
Let's move on to, I think, wrapping things up because, you know, we touched on the big stuff here and really, yeah, we're at time.
What about Roblox? We're not going
to
talk about Roblox. The new kid on the block?
You didn't talk
new
about
kid
Avatar,
on the block.
Max. I'm very
yes.
proud of you.
Well, I don't know what
blocks.
To talk about. Okay, you want to talk
move
about Roblox?
Move over Minecraft.
Just okay. Well, on that note, I think we're gonna let's do like a yes or no for this state of play. Just how are we feeling? Are we doing? I'm gonna go with that. I'm not
a down.
Really?
No, I think I'm doing down.
Okay.
This
can
was,
I do
this? Was solid.
This is my huh. yeah. I'm kind of a
solid.
Wiggle.
What though? Solid foam? Solid mud?
What the hell is solid foam?
You fight him at the end of Phantom Pain, but
yeah.
You have to
oh down.
Okay,
middle.
Fine, it's
I
middle. I don't know.
If they didn't show Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I'd be firmly in the thumb down position. But on the strength of the Rebirth footage we got, I'm putting it like middle to thumbs up.
Look,
okay, Spider-Man 2 and...
So yeah, no, Spider-Man 2 and Resident Evil 4, Simon Ada got me in the middle. I'm gonna stop doing this with my hand. But you know, that's where it got me.
I just, you know, this is the second, at least the second one of these we've gotten from Sony, where it's a bunch of, you know, it's a bunch of leftovers, it's a bunch of snacks. It's all looks good. It all looks like a good time. It's a bunch of third party stuff, and then like a one little bit of a really good thing. And the last time they did this with Spider-Man way back in June?
Yeah.
May. You know, that was a big chunk of Spider-Man. We got really excited. We came out of that like we were shot out of a cannon. We were like, yes, that was a great thing. And then I think as it sort of the hype wore off, we were like, was it though? And I think like what, 65% of the things they showed wound up being like, yeah, it's also coming to Xbox. So
I mean, we got this.
That's a big problem. But like, what is PlayStation Studios doing? Like, what are they doing over there? You know,
dude, what are you talking about? They're rendering that incredible trailer for three new colors for the DualSense: red, blue, and silver.
Wow. Deep earth colors.
I don't know what y'all are smoking.
Anyway,
sterling silver.
How can PlayStation satisfy you all? I'm so curious because I thought this was a solid showing.
Well,
did you
give it a thumbs up?
I gave it a thumbs up.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. That's good. That's fine. That's
This is me defending it now.
Are we doing two thumbs up or one thumb up?
All right. New first party titles. I want to see something original from PlayStation at this point. Like,
show
yes,
me
we
Wolverine
got Spider-Man
doing
2.
Okay, fine. Here's mine.
But at this point, that's all stuff we know. Give me something new. Long gone are the days of, mm-hmm. you know, Days Gone or
right.
Death Stranding. Something that is a first party title.
Ghost of Tsushima 2.
New.
Where are you at?
Ghost of Tsushima. But even that's a sequel. I want to see something new. Give me something new. Where's
in this
the Order
economy?
1886?
Yeah.
Give me the equivalent of that.
Well,
come on.
We have strong feelings about this. We'll be back next week on Beyond to talk about this and also talk about Akeem's Spider-Man impressions. In the meantime, keep an eye on IGN tomorrow because there's a ton of Spider-Man 2 coverage going up. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me for hanging out.
Of course.
It was a blast hanging out with you. The foam stuff.
The foamsters.
The rest of the stuff.
Back
I don't know.
In the building.
I have mixed feelings. I don't want to be too negative, but I don't know. PlayStation, I don't know. The holidays around the corner. Show off some exciting things. And on that note, beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. and it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.